Can we stand up again with our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and let's try to conclude the rapturing faith. Verse 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 2 Corinthians, sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 is our text. And that scripture says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves, knowing not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobate. We are not reprobate. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of His word. God bless you. Be seated. And let's try to conclude this message of the rapturing faith. This is the third part, so that you can understand where we are going, try to go back. If you have not listened to the last two parts, please go back and listen to them. We are continuing today. Hallelujah. We saw what you are to examine, how you are to examine yourself. Last week, we saw how you are to examine yourself. How are you to examine yourself? One of the ways, Romans chapter 8, verse 29 tells us that whom he did foreknow, first you have to be called. Of course, we are all called. And for whom he did foreknow, through his foreknowledge, whom he did foreknow, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. So number one, if you are truly called for salvation, there are different types of calls. But if you are called for eternal life, you are called for salvation, the first thing is to know your destiny. So if you say examine yourself, if you be in the faith, first you want to see, am I truly now the image of Christ? For that is our destiny. Am I? Because God intended to create man after his image. And that image was not achieved through what happened in the Garden of Eden. And so man will not know exactly what the image of God is. So God came down in Christ Jesus, a man, hallelujah, referred to as the image of the invisible God. That's what Colossians 1:15 tells us. He is the image of the invisible God. So, Christ, therefore, is that perfect Adam. That Adam that God intended to be. If you want to know how God intended Adam to be, then you look at that man the Bible calls the last Adam. And that is the destiny of every one of us. Before you boast that I'm sure of going to heaven, be sincere to yourself. Christ said, if you see me, you see the Father. He said, I and the Father are one. Therefore, if our destiny is to be conformed to the image of Christ, Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. What he's saying is not just prayer in Jesus' name. Nobody will get to heaven except you attain that perfect image that he gave us. So when he said, no man can come to the Father except by me, he said, I am the way. The way there, hallelujah. He made it through the cross. The way there is how we are supposed to live our lives. He boasted, he said, the Father hears me because I do always those things that are pleasing before him. Amen. It's important we catch it. Christ is the mystery of godliness. Christ is the mystery of godliness. It's a mystery, therefore, it must be decoded before you can truly understand who he is. Hallelujah. And so he could ask, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Upon that rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. It's so deep, no sermon can ever finish that. The person, the mystery of the Lord Jesus Christ is so deep, it cannot be reduced to religion. The mystery of who Jesus Christ is so deep, it is so deep, and not too many people catch it. Christ is the mystery of godliness. Christ is one topic in the Bible that can never be exhausted. Hallelujah. Christ is the only character in the Bible that you cannot define by one sentence. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Christ is the only character in the Bible that you cannot define with one statement. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. You are correct, isn't it? Is he not the Son of God? Is he not the Son of God? Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of David. Are you wrong? I'm quoting Bible. This same Jesus is the Son of God. This same Jesus is the Son of David. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And this same Jesus is the seed of the woman, no man being papa. And you are not wrong. You are correct. And this same Jesus is the Almighty God. He is Emmanuel. I never finish. This same Jesus is the prophet Moses spoke about. So he's a prophet. This same Jesus is the king. He's a king. The king of kings. This same Jesus, now, he is the high priest of our profession. That is where he is now. Hallelujah. And this same Jesus is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus is the mystery of God revealed. Apostle Paul in Colossians 1:24 says, Jesus is the wisdom of God. Jesus is the power of God. Jesus is the mystery of God. Who do you say I, the Son of Man, am? Upon this rock of the revelation of who Jesus is, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. He has put it like that to confuse religious people. So that only his elect. And what qualify you to be God's elect is our attitude towards the things of God. When you have locked up your mind, amen, and you believe you have arrived, it will bypass you and move ahead. You can't end revelation. You can't end revelation. You can't end the mystery of salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so it's important when we say, you know, examine yourself. How will you examine yourself when you don't have the indices by which to do the examination? What are you going to use to know whether I am in the faith? Number one, what is the faith? And then number two, how will I know I am in the faith? And that's exactly what we're trying to look at, so that we can respond to the admonishment of Peter, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Remember, many are called, but few are chosen. So we continue today with the evidence and the identity of the bride. The evidence that you are part of those who will go in the rapture. Amen. And I look at it from two points of view and should cover every area concerned. Number one is that you say you are a bride. Amen. There is a wedding garment. Every time we come here, we come every now and then for wedding. What do you use to identify the bride when you see the bride coming? Among other women, they are dancing and coming. There's something that identifies the very one that is for the wedding. What do we use to identify? It's the wedding garment. Remember that everything about the physical marriage is speaking about the spiritual marriage that is going on between Christ and his church. That wedding garment is an Eastern culture. It's a culture that God uses to make us understand what is going on pertaining to salvation. So the emphasis, therefore, is your appearance, which is the garment. There is the wedding garment. The wedding garment, and when I say wedding garment, I am not speaking about your long skirt that you wear. It's not the identity. It's not the identity of the bride in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not the identity of the bride in heaven. If not, you will see a Muslim woman that wears long cloth and she is passing on the way. Then you will say, oh, that is a bride woman. And we know people who wear long dresses. Long dresses. They don't palm their hair. If you see them haggard looking, they look like people who are living on a mountain every day. And yet, inside of their dress, even turtleneck, maybe their cloth. So you don't see any part. In fact, even their bare legs, you know, they sell and they wear socks. So like that. Waiting. Everybody is calling you holy sister, but you may be a fornicator. That one, nobody will know. Only the person when they sleep with you will know. Hallelujah. So you won't see, therefore, amen, that the kind of cloth I wear here, amen, is not the identity. It's not. But the identity will also produce good appearance, even physically. Amen. But the emphasis the Bible tells us, amen, your appearance, church, there is a garment that we are supposed to put on, so to speak. Identity before God and before man. Examine yourself if you be in the faith. Examine, do you have your wedding garment ready? One of the things that is so important, if you observe, in every wedding preparation, the woman, the dress of the woman is the emphasis. Until even in this church, the wedding, the marriage committee, they would want to see the dress in advance. Because it's not just enough that the dress is white. It's not just enough. It must be properly cut and properly covered. Emphasis. There is a spiritual dimension to that. If you are going to be among the bride of Jesus Christ, I say this Because I know I am talking to an elect member somewhere. I believe it. And examples are in the Bible. If you read the story of Esther in the book of Esther, chapters 1 and 2, we know the story. That story there, the story of Esther, is the story of the bride of Jesus Christ. That story is not the story of Ahasuerus and what happened in Persia. It is a story there that has a spiritual dimension for the bride of Jesus Christ. What is he speaking of? King Ahasuerus had a wife that he prepared a feast. We know the story, so I'm paraphrasing. You can read it on your own. And when it was time, the guests everywhere was furnished for the queen to come forth and show her beauty. She, Queen Vashti, met Nyanga and refused to come out. Stubborn queen. And that king is God himself. He made a way for salvation for his queen Israel. He came to his own received him not. They rejected salvation. They rejected it. Therefore, a counsel was given to the king Ahasuerus that they should put her away because of the consequence, the effect that could generate in the land. It will cause women to be stubborn to their husbands. Let's use her as an example. And they put away the queen. She lost her position as a queen. And a search for a replacement, glory be to God, was announced in the land. And we know the story that in the queen's palace and the king's palace, there are eunuchs known as chamberlains. How many are there? Seven of them. Seven chamberlains. What was their job? What was their duty? They are in charge of taking care of the queen. They prepare the queen. They are in charge of looking after the queen. And announcement was made in the land. Which maiden, which young girl, the Bible called them maidens, will be qualified to be the king's queen. And those who got themselves, who were ready to be king, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth should not perish. Whosoever. A lot of us may not understand this interesting thing about God and Satan. Anytime God allows Satan to do anything around his program, around his children, is only going to work out his purpose. It looks as if God folded his hands and allowed Christianity to degenerate into the denominations that we have today. But unknown to us, it is going to speak of something. Hallelujah. God knew it will happen. That is why he put the story of Esther there. And Esther and the king there, the search for a queen to replace the Vashti, Queen Vashti, is a type of the gospel that has come to the Gentiles and broken down to all the denominations. So every denomination, remember, church is a woman. Okay, in the Bible. Alright? A woman. That's why the bride is a woman. Bride, woman. Okay? So, and every church has now come up looking, every denomination today believe they are the bride. Seventh-day Adventists believe they are the bride. Catholics believe they are the bride. That they are the ones that will be selected according to their doctrines. Redeemed believes so. Deeper Life believes so. Brother Assembly Church believes so. Choosing. Let them be choosing. Everyone is a type of those girls in that kingdom that offered themselves. But take note. Amen. Amen. You are not qualified until you pass through the training of the chamberlains. If you know your Bible, in Revelation chapter 1, there was Christ with how many stars in his right hand? 7 stars. Hallelujah. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, and when you come to verse 20 of Revelation chapter 1, he explained what those stars are. They are the messengers. They are the angels to the 7 church ages. 7 chamberlains. What is their duty? To prepare the bride. Amen. Each age had a star messenger with the dressing of the bride. Each age had a messenger. 7 church ages. 7 star messengers. That is another mystery that the church has refused to catch. And only the star messenger, the chamberlain, knows the mind of the king, knows the type of woman the king will want. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, Esther also, a type of the Gentile. We are nobody. We are called dogs. But you know, we replace the bride is now to be picked from the Gentiles. A people that are no people at all. A people that are not known by my name, according to the Bible. Hallelujah. Now, take note of what I am saying here. My emphasis is this. If you go to chapter 2, every one of them were prepared by the chamberlains. Now, according to that story, when it was now time, there is a period for the preparation. When the time for the preparation was okay, one by one, they come for inspection. There is inspection time. Praise the Lord. There is inspection time. The king will not just accept anyhow woman. Now, my emphasis is this. The Bible says that when it was time, one by one, you will come to the king. One after the other. Those who qualify, one after the other. You come. You stay there overnight. Praise the Lord. My wife was asking me yesterday or so. He said, how many of the maidens, does it mean, I don't know how I will say this thing my wife asked me. She was asking me what was happening between the king and each of them every day, every night. I didn't have much answer. I don't know whether, Elvis, you have the answer to that. It was Bible study. It's Bible study. She will come in the evening, spend the night, and in the morning, it will go. So I was saying, the king was inspecting her now, inspecting her all night. That was what my wife asked me. Praise the Lord.